it wrong. But I'm not buying it. Somehow, I don't think Peter wants to be a sunflower. I mean, he said the poem perfectly, did he not? So he's saying all the right things. He's out there with his little box of cookies, knocking on the doors, trying to sell the cookies, so he's doing all the right things. He understands the goal, right? If he wins the contest, he gets to be Blossom of the Month. But did you get the feeling his heart really wasn't in what he was doing? Did you get the feeling that he would rather be doing anything at that moment than standing at that door trying to sell that box of cookies to that man? As a matter of fact, just so you know, I'm going to ruin the episode for you. When that door shuts, he quits. That was his one and only house that he ever went to as a sunflower girl. Because really, while he wore the outfit, and while he said the things, and he did the things, he had absolutely, positively zero interest in being a sunflower girl. And his parents are probably happy about that, to be honest with you. But he was not interested in being a sunflower girl. Now, this is Kids Sunday, so we do things just a little bit different. And we started off the service this morning with Deborah reading that parable of the sunflower. Now, before you pick up your scripture and you start looping through the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that is not a parable of Jesus. We never called it a Jesus parable. So you will not find that particular parable in the Bible. It is actually a book that my wife used to teach a Sunday school class. And then she showed it to me and said, there's a kids' Sunday coming up. What would you think about this being the backdrop for a sermon? And you realize I took it as a challenge, right? How sunflowery could we make the service? And so that's what we've been trying to do this morning, is to talk about the sunflower. And when she read that book, there were a lot of good principles in that book about what it means to be a Christian. There is the idea of sowing. The idea at the beginning of the book, before you could ever have a sunflower, you had to start out with a seed. That's just the way things work. Then there was the idea of caring. It wasn't just enough that the seed got planted into the ground. It had to be watered. It had to be weeded. The little boy even sat at the window and talked to the sunflowers, encouraging them to come up, to grow and to grow and to grow. That's the way it works. There's the idea of patience. He didn't get to plant the seed one morning and go out and pick the sunflowers the next morning, did he? Now, he had to sit there and wait the entire summer as these little things began to grow from these little bitty seeds into these great big sunflowers. There is the idea of growth. How disappointing would the little boy have been if he put the seeds into the ground and nothing happened? That would have been no fun at all. A few years ago, well, actually it was last year, we planted some tomato plants in our front yard in a big pot, and we were looking forward to having some homegrown tomatoes. And, well, the bunny rabbits enjoyed them. They came up, they blossomed, and we had tomatoes on the vine, and we went away on vacation, and we came back, and there were no tomatoes on the vine because the bunny rabbits decided that that was their food. But it would have been very disappointed if nothing had come up. By the way, we didn't plant tomato vines this year because I don't like feeding bunny rabbits. But anyway, there's this idea that these sunflower seeds, they were supposed to grow. There was the idea of a harvest. At the end of the whole thing, the idea wasn't to get sunflowers. What was the goal of the sunflower? Seeds. If all they ever would have produced was one flower, and then that flower died and went away, there would have been nothing. The excitement of the sunflower was the fact that when it dropped the seeds and the birds would come and pick the seeds and all of that, it was all about the idea of a harvest. And in that harvest, there was the idea of sacrifice. The sunflower seed indeed did have to die in order for its seeds to live on. Now, I could have picked any single one of these principles and made a really, really, really good sermon off of them. I didn't pick any. Because as I began to look at these and I began going across the internet and I was doing my research on sunflower seeds, I became enamored with a question that gets asked on Google all the time. And at the time, I didn't know the answer. So I'm going to show you the question. If you know the answer, don't shout it out. Don't spoil it for everybody else. Why are sunflowers called sunflowers? Just so you know, how many people here actually know the answer to the question? I do now because I looked it up. Okay, all right. So why are sunflowers called sunflowers? It may sound like a silly question, but the ironic thing is that while a sunflower is called a sunflower, sunflowers provide some of the great principles of being a Christian, but this answer to why a sunflower is called a sunflower may be why Christians should be called sunflowers, not with a U, with an O. Because as you look at why they actually got their name, the first thing you find is the obvious thing. They look like the sun. As I look at this, I can understand why they look, why they're called sunflowers. You see, these things, they have a distinct circular center. Now, I don't encourage it, but, you know, if you actually looked at the sun, don't go outside and stare at the sun, please. But if you look at a picture of the sun that doesn't blind you, it has a distinct little circle right in the middle. And then coming right off of that, there are these yellow or orangey petals. This is actually, there are orange sunflowers out there. There are these yellow or orangey petals that come off in an array. And so they have the shape just like the sun. Now here's the thing. They didn't start out that way. You see, this is what we see. This is what we call a sunflower. But they started out in little bags, at least those up here, those that are growing here do. Start out in little bags that look like these, and I'm not going to do this unless I have to clean up mess number two this morning. But if I took these out, maybe I can't get this one out. Yeah, I can. So they didn't start out looking like a sun. They started out looking more like a rock. But they had to take these, and you had to put them in the ground, and then they had to do some growing. And the thing is, they didn't immediately start looking like a sun. Now, the next thing they started looking at, and I'll be honest with you, if I saw this growing in my yard, you know what I probably would have called this, don't you? A weed. Okay, so I probably would have been one of those things I tell my sons to go out and grab by the base here and pull as hard as you can. But believe it or not, this right here, if it's taken care of and watered and nurtured, this is going to be a sunflower. As a matter of fact, this particular breed of sunflower, if we took really good care of it, my dad's neighbor's got some growing right across the street from him. They're taller than me. And they have these great big heads on them, and they're beautiful, and they look just like suns. But we need to understand, it doesn't start out looking like this. Likewise, Christians don't come out fully developed. They don't come out looking like the finished product. They sometimes look kind of like a rock. They got not much going on, but it is our job as a church to nurture those little rocks into plants that are pushing upwards until ultimately they look just like the sun. You see, the idea is found in 1 John chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us his spirit, and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely that the love of God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how love has made itself complete among us, that we have the confidence on the day of judgment that in this world that we are like Jesus. John starts off this principle that we can know that we are in Christ. This idea that, am I on my way to heaven? Well, that's not really the question. The question is, do you have a relationship with Christ? And it says that you'll know exactly because guess what? It means you'll begin to look like Jesus. Now, this does not mean that we expect everybody to grow a beard and mustache and long hair. Okay, it does not mean that you become the physical representation of Christ. But what it does mean that you will begin to act like Christ. You'll begin to do what he did. You'll begin to love what he loved. You'll begin to act and go that same way until you get to the point that eventually you no longer look like a little rock. You no longer look like a bunch of leaves or a weed growing out. You'll begin to look just like Jesus. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You see, this idea of being a sunflower, the S-O-N flower, is that as you begin to grow in your life of Christ, you begin to look more
and more and more like Christ looks. And this is a great thing to know, because if I begin to look like, if I begin to place this stuff in this pot and it grows up, and suppose after I wait about a few months and then what comes out of there is a purple flower that kind of comes in bunches, and what do I know? That ain't a sunflower. Well, how do I know it ain't a sunflower? Because it doesn't look like a sunflower. So we can begin to look at our lives, and it says we can absolutely 100% know that we are going in the right direction, that we are following Christ, because we will look like Christ. Here's the other reason, and this was the one I found interesting. And this is the real reason they're called sunflowers. Because sunflowers follow the sun. Now, I gave each and every one of you a sunflower this morning. Is there anyone I did not give a sunflower to? You do not have one of these sunflowers. That's good, because this is an interactive sermon. So you guys are going to have to get interactive. So please pick up your sunflowers. Sonny, you forgot yours. You're going to need your sunflower. Here we go. So here's the deal. Sunflowers follow the sun. Now, sunflowers are rooted, so they never move anywhere. But when the sun begins to come up, guess what? The sun faces east. By the way, I brought a compass in here this week, so I know which way east is. Okay. So the sunflowers begin their day, and all the sunflowers in unison point the same direction. They point east toward where the sun rises. Then as the sun begins to move across the sky, come on, together. The sunflowers follow the sun. And if you go out to a field of sunflowers at noon, guess what? The sunflowers are straight up. Because guess where the sun is? Right above them. They follow the sun all the way across. And then as the sun begins to move west, the sunflowers begin to move west too. And then as the sun begins to set, the sunflowers bend their heads and they begin their prayer, waiting for the sun to rise again tomorrow. And guess what? They do it all again. They start in the east, and they go across the sky until they get to the west, and then they begin to droop. And they do this over and over and over again. And this is why they call them sunflowers, because there are only two other species in nature that do this, that they follow the sun across the sky. Everywhere the sun goes, it goes. And I find that fascinating, because if I took the time to do it and I went out to a field of sunflowers, while there would be many flowers of different shapes and sizes, they would not all be the exact same color. They would all be totally in unison, because they all have one focus. Isn't that a lesson for the church? They're not all exactly the same, and all exactly the same size. They probably weren't all born at the same time, but they have one focus. They focus themselves on the sun, and so they all move in unison, because every single one of them are following the sun. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21 says, "To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving an example that you should follow in his footsteps." My son turns 15 today. Bet you didn't know that. We're not going to sing happy birthday again, aren't you? Aren't you glad, Caleb? But I can remember the first snow that we had when he was about 2 years old, and we went out into the snow, and you know, when I walk, I made footprints, and when he came out behind me, guess what he wanted to try to do? Step in my footprint. But at 2 years old, it didn't work so well, because I'm about 5'7", and he was about this big. And so, you know, as he was trying to go from, he would stumble and he would fall, but he was determined he was going to follow in the footsteps. Now, it's gotten a lot easier. Today, if I went out and made tracks in the snow, he'd probably have to shorten his stride, because he's just a little bit taller than me now. So, but the idea is that he wanted to follow in my footsteps, and sometimes that's hard. That's really, really hard. But being a sunflower means that you're going to be a sun follower. It isn't enough that your life just begins to look like Christ. You actually begin following the things that he would do. And that brings us to a very interesting question. Where are we going? I mean, what is it that God wants me to do? Well, it's interesting. We've been through this scripture before, and we're going back to it again because it's a good refresher course that we remind ourselves, what does it mean to be a follower of Christ? The good news is we don't have to guess, because the sun told the sunflowers exactly what we're supposed to be doing in unison. And this is what it reads in Matthew chapter 25, verses 34 through 40. Then the king, representation of Jesus, will say to those on his right, come you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply. I love this answer. Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. How do I be a sunflower? Well, we have to remember, it's people, not process focused. See, I find it fascinating that when Jesus was trying to determine who was a Christian and who was not, he didn't look at you and say, can you pull out your baptismal certificate for me? I'd like to see the date on it with the authenticity seal. I want to make sure we got this right. He didn't say, hey, can you pull out the Sunday school records attendance? I want to make sure you're above the 50% mark. He didn't check for worship attendance. He didn't check to see how many good deeds you had done. He didn't check for any of that. He just said, hey, look, if you did what I did, then guess what? That's what I'm interested in seeing. Jesus tells us that we're to be good fruit inspectors, and here he tells us what the fruit looks like. What are the seeds supposed to look like? Well, it's really simple. It says the first thing is he got personal. It was an invitation. It was an invitation. I have a question for you guys. Who knows what these are? You know what they're called? These are called seed cards. We introduced these about 9 months ago. They're sitting at the entrances, and I printed 500 of them and set them out on the thing. Set them out at the entrances. We got real excited when we first put them out there. How many seeds are we still planting? How many invitations are we still handing out? Because the first thing Jesus says is that we invited. We got hospitable. We got up close and personal with people. Because that's what being a sunflower was all about. If you think about it, that was what Jesus was all about. He was all about the idea of inviting others to come and get close to Jesus. That was it. That was his number one priority when he was doing this ministry on earth. He left an example. That's what 1 Peter tells us. An example of how we're supposed to do it. And it begins with the idea that we have to invite others to come. We've made it easy. You can put those in your pocketbook or your wallet or your pocket, and you can hand them out by the dozens. Let me ask you something. Are we scattering seeds? Or are we trying to just hold on to our seeds, hoping that maybe nobody ever asks us a question? Because Jesus says this begins with an invitation. We've got to meet people. And when we begin to meet people, it says we have to learn how to meet their needs. Now, again, I find it interesting because there isn't a single spiritual need that Jesus mentions on this list. It does not say you need to teach them John 3:16. It did not say that you got to go out and teach them all the books of the Bible. Now, those things are nice. I'm not devaluing anything that's not on the list. I think all of it has its importance. But as far as what we, the church, are supposed to be doing, it says the first thing they did is he fed them. Now, Jesus started this by example, did he not? We have the feeding of the 5,000. All the people got together, and they were learning from Jesus, and they were doing this with Jesus, and they got late in the day, and they got hungry, and Jesus didn't say, guess what? Take a hike. I got no food with me whatsoever. No. He said, sit down, because I can feed you. He met their personal need, and because that personal need got met, they were interested in finding out more, because guess what? The next day, they did it for the wrong reason. The next day, those people went looking for Jesus again. And so the bread next time, he gave them a little bit more of a spiritual lesson, but he began with the idea, your most basic needs, I'm interested in those. Let's feed them. If they're thirsty, give them something to drink. If they want a bottle of water, give them a bottle of water. If they want a gallon of water, give them a gallon of water. We give more water to our plants in the field, do we not? If you go out there today and you've been out in the sun in this for July here, how many people have watered the grass at least once? Don't really raise your hand because technically it's against the law right now. So you're not supposed to be watering because of the water level. So they say you ain't supposed to water your grass now, but how many have watered your plants? Yeah, you take care of your plants. You give them water because you understand if I don't give them water, what happens to the plants? They die. Those seeds that we plant, if we don't take care of their needs, if we don't go back and take care of them, they're going to wither. Just like the tomatoes on the vine, if they don't get something to drink. Since we're supposed to clothe them, means if we see somebody that needs something as far as clothes go, Jesus says, clothe them. There's even a verse that says if they ask for your hat, give them your cloak too. In other words, we're supposed to be concerned when we see people that are without. Their needs are supposed to impact us. It says that we're supposed to tend to them. We're supposed to, when we see people that are sick, we're supposed to take notice. Is there some way I can help you? Is there something I can do for you? This is the mark of a Christian. We're supposed to be visiting them when their times are getting hard. Now that's kind of difficult. Because I tell you what, I got enough going on in my life that sometimes when other people's lives get hard, you know what I want to do? I want to pull in a little bit. See, because I know I don't have so much bandwidth in my life, and if I take on all of your needs, how am I supposed to take care of my needs? But Jesus says, guess what? This was the dividing stick. When Jesus told this parable, he looked at these people, and they were trying to figure out what it meant to be a follower of Christ, what it means to be a sunflower. This was the list. As a matter of fact, there's a second part of that verse, because after he talked to the righteous, I think I got it backwards. There's a first part of that verse. After, when he talked to the righteous, but he also talked to the other side, those that saw themselves as religious. And he said, guess what? You guys did not invite me. You guys did not feed me. You guys did not give me water. You guys did not take care of the needs. You guys did not clothe. And they said, when did we ever see you like that, Jesus? Because if we'd have saw you like that, we would have done something about it. Jesus said, the problem is you don't see anything. Because you didn't see the people around you that were in need. You see, you weren't really following at all. You were just kind of doing the things that you wanted to do. Kind of like Peter, standing on that step. Yeah, he was there. He was going to sell a few boxes of cookies, going to raise some money for the sunflower girls. But really, he wasn't there because he was a sun follower. So I want you to think this morning. Honestly, honestly, dive inside of yourself and ask yourself, why are you sitting in this seat this morning? Are you sitting here because somewhere along the way, somebody told you this is the right thing to do, this is where you're supposed to be on a Sunday morning? Well, I applaud you for being here. You've missed the point. If you're sitting here this morning because, you know what, it's just that thing that we've always done. You know, it's a tradition, it's a ritual, whatever you want to call it. I applaud you for being here, but you've missed the point. If you're sitting here this morning because you have an honest relationship with who Jesus is, and that relationship means that you want to get closer and closer to him, you want to become more and more and more like him, then that is the reason you are following the Son, because you wish to look like the Son. And when you look at these verses in Matthew chapter 25, Jesus tells us exactly how to do it. It's not a religious action. It's not about do this, do that. It's not the right incantation. It's not the right poem that we say when we get up in front of people. That isn't what makes a Christian. As a matter of fact, Jesus is kind of point blank. You'll know a Christian by their love. By the way, there's a mistake in the bulletin. We're going to do Christian, but they'll know a Christian for our invitation song, not for our closing. So we have this idea that Jesus says, you know how you know a Christian? Look at their life. If they have love for the things that God loves, then that's a Christian. If they don't have love for the things that God loves, then you know what? That person should question, because I don't get to say who's a Christian, who's not, but that person should start questioning whether or not I'm actually following the Son. Could you imagine being out in that field and watching that field of sunflowers? And they're all going across the sky except for one. One decides, I'm going to go the opposite direction. Well, sunflowers don't think. They're reacting to the sun, so they wouldn't do that. But think how odd that would look. And you would probably question what's wrong with that flower, would you not? Because it's not doing what a sunflower is supposed to do. But yet, in our spiritual life, we can continue to go and go and go and go. And we never stop and ask the question, am I a sunflower? Because I am a sun follower. Think about that as we sing this song. Think about this. Am I following Christ today? We are going to do a time of decision. And this morning, if you are not a sunflower, you've never given your life to Christ, you've never planted your seed in the soil of who He is, let me encourage you to come on forward, and we'll set you down with somebody that can turn through Scripture, and we'll show you what it means to be a child of God. Maybe you're here this morning, and now you realize, you know what? I've done that, but my flower is a little out of whack. It's a little out of rhythm. I've started waving it my own way instead of waving it the way God wants me to wave it. Let me encourage you to use this time to maybe make this a time to rededicate your life to being an honest-to-goodness sunflower by allowing your life to look like Christ and to go where Christ went. Would you please stand? We're going to pray, and then we're going to sing. They will know we are Christians by our love.